Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you all. I know we're missing our teenagers here today. They're all up north at the Jesus Freak End, is what they call it, with the youth staff and having a great time. I expect to see them back here later today so they can watch the ball drop with the rest of us. But today is a special day for me, and I hope for you too. As you know, of course, tomorrow is not only the first day of the new year, but it's also the first day of January, of course. January is named after the Roman god Janus, the god of beginnings, of gates, of transitions, of time, of duality, doorways, passageways, endings. And he's usually depicted, as you see up on the screen, with two faces looking in opposite ways, because he looks to the future and he looks to the past. The Romans believed that the beginning of anything was the way that the thing was going to proceed. So if it started badly, oh, that was a bad omen that it was going to continue badly. It's sort of like the expression today when we say he got up on the wrong side of the bed, you know, and that's why he's having such a grouchy day. The Romans really believed that. If you started off on the wrong foot, things would go badly, but if you started off on the right foot, things would go well. And so on January 1st, it was customary to exchange cheerful words and good wishes, as we do today, so as to start the year off on a positive note. At New Year's, we, like Janus, look backwards and forwards to review the year behind us and to plan and to dream about the coming year. The past can haunt us, right? And maybe we have some regrets about things that didn't go very well in this past year. Unfinished business, painful memories. But the future can also be scary because we're sailing into the unknown. The future. We do not know those uncharted waters. And so today is part 8 in our series, the final installment of our Fearless series, a series about facing our fears through faith in Jesus. And I want to show you today that it's Jesus, it's not Janus, it's Jesus who not only looks back on the past, but forward to the future, and of course, is sovereign over the past, the present, and the future. He's sovereign over eternity, and it is he who assures us who are his followers that we don't have anything to fear about the past or the future. He is the God of time and eternity. So today, fear of the future, and it's all wrapped up in our main idea, the one thing you should remember if you forget everything else that I say, and if you're taking notes on your outline, you can write it down in the blank there. Fearlessness toward the future comes by trusting in Jesus. Fearlessness of the future comes by trusting in Jesus. Very simple, yet profound truth there. I want you for a moment to picture yourself in the driver's seat behind the wheel of a car that's moving forward. You are locked into this seat. You cannot get out. All you can do is steer the car. Now understand, there's no accelerator pedal in this car. Nor are there any brakes, because you see, this car is time. And the steering wheel represents your choices as you live your life and proceed through time. There are no U-turns. You can't turn back once progress has been made in a particular direction. You can't speed up. You can't slow down. You can't stop this car. You cannot unbuckle your seatbelt and jump out of the door. And oh, did I mention? The windshield before you is completely blacked out. That's right, in this car. And there's no GPS, by the way. Why? Because, of course, you are driving into the future, and the future cannot be seen. Now, of course, you can see out of the side windows, as that's the present. You can see out the rear view mirror. You can see out rear window, because that's the past. Are you afraid? Are you afraid in this trip? Now, it's not like you're alone. I mean, there are other people. In fact, all your friends, all your relatives, everybody that you know, and even those that you don't know, are driving the same kind of car, too. And you can communicate with them over your speakerphone. And you've got other things. You've got the radio. You can watch TV. You've got the internet and Google and all that kind of stuff. And everybody, through all these different sources, they all have various ideas and opinions about what's up ahead and what you should do and how you should live your life as you drive through time. But unfortunately, you're all driving and you can't see, nobody can see where he or she is going. And nobody knows what's up ahead except for one thing. Everybody knows that up ahead there's a big cliff, a big drop-off somewhere out there. And you know this because everybody eventually falls off of it. This cliff, this drop-off, is called death. What happens to someone when he or she drops off? Well, like with everything else, opinions abound, opinions differ. And everybody's got advice about it, or some people just ignore it. It's going to happen. What's going to happen is going to happen. But it seems to you that everybody's just kind of guessing about that. This is the road of life, and you are on it. Now hold that thought for a moment. Don't forget, don't lose the image. We're going to switch scenes here for a few moments, switch scenarios. You've now jumped into a time machine and a teleporter as well. We're going back about 2,000 years across the ocean over to the Middle East to an island in the Aegean Sea off the coast of what we today call Turkey. It's a rocky island out there in the middle of the Aegean for prisoners. It's called Patmos. You see it here. It's just so tiny you can barely even see the island on that map. And this is where the Apostle John has been exiled. Why? Because he's been preaching the gospel of Jesus. And in this lonely place, this seemingly desolate place, this seemingly God-forsaken place, the Lord Jesus appears to John in a stunning vision. You can assume that John might be very concerned about his future. What's going to happen to him? What's the well-being for him, as we might think for ourselves? But John is so overwhelmed at this sight, this appearance, this vision of the risen Jesus, that he nearly dies of fright as he falls to the ground. Let's pick it up in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And help me out when we come to the yellow print, if you would, please. John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever.'" and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Today, I hope to accomplish two goals in this message. First, I want to show how Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus, is your indispensable ally as you drive into the future. You might picture him hovering over your car in a helicopter. And unlike you, he can see everything. He can see everywhere. He sees where you've been, he sees where you are, and he sees the road out in front of you. And he is an ally who has proven his love for you and offers you everything you need to make it safely ahead. Secondly, my second goal to accomplish here is I want to apply this text to our situation as we look ahead to 2018. I've got my sabbatical coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that. For the next 3 months, I'll be away. And our building renovation, which should be transpiring over the next 6 months or so. So what I'd like to do is explore this text with those goals in mind to find the huge comfort that this text brings. First, notice that John's initial reaction to seeing Jesus in his heavenly glory is to nearly die of fright. He says, again, I saw him and I fell at his feet as though dead. He faints. This is the typical reaction when in the Bible when God shows up in a vision. Imagine if you walked in the door and every time you did, people saw you and they fainted, you know? Something weird must be going on. Well, what is it? Well, his glory is so potent. It's so awesomely pure and holy and good and powerful. It overloads the system. Even as a vision, a human being just can't take it. You're flat on your face in his presence. You're instantly aware of your utter unworthiness, your sins before him. Let's say that tomorrow morning you put on a white shirt. And as you're getting dressed, it's dim. You don't want to wake up your spouse in the same room as you're putting on your shirt and getting dressed. And you think, hey, this is a nice shirt to wear today. But later, when you get out into the brighter light, let's say the bright sunlight, you notice what you couldn't see in the dimmer light. You see there are stains on this shirt, ugly stains. The cuffs are a little frayed. You think, why in the world did I put this on? And you feel self-conscious about having this shirt on. Well, that's a crude illustration about what it's like to live in this world, in this light. It's dim. And we don't see our faults for what they really are. We don't see our sins for what they are. But when we stand before God, his holiness, his brightness, his purity, his awesome, infinite goodness exposes all of that. And we feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel undone. It's devastating. Isaiah the prophet said, woe is me in one of those instances. He said, I'm a dead man. I have seen the Lord. But notice that Christ himself reaches out to John and places his hand on him. God is gracious. He loves us, even though we're unworthy. You may think that you have searched for God. You may think you're now searching for God, depending on your situation. You may consider yourself a seeker, or you may look back on a time when you said, I was a seeker back in those days. But technically, this is a mistaken notion, you see. Strictly speaking, there's no such thing as a seeker, somebody who says, well, I'm going to go looking for God, the one true God. God always makes the first move. Never the reverse. If you're searching for God, if you are seeking, it's because he's drawing you to himself. Our sinfulness prevents us from ever wanting God. It's in our nature to be repelled by him. Did you know that? This is what Scripture teaches. Yes, to be repelled. I remember when I was a kid, I always used to see the sparrows out there in the backyard, and I'd try to go up and get real quiet behind them and try to catch one of them. I never could. It was their instinct to constantly get away from me, to fly away. I could never coax one. It didn't matter what I did. Well, that's like it's because it's their nature. They're afraid, all right? Well, that's what the Bible says about us with God. It is our nature to turn away from him. It's like when you're driving a car and you're going a little too quickly and you see the cop, you know, and he's driving behind you and you're thinking, I wish he would get off of my tail because I'd like to go a little faster, right? Okay, not me, of course, you guys maybe, but true confessions here. The risen Jesus reaches out to John and he says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Notice the expression, the first and the last. This is a title. This is a title for God used in the Old Testament. Let me give you one example, Isaiah 44:6. This is what the Lord says. See the L-O-R-D in all capital letters? That means this is Yahweh, God's personal name. This is what Yahweh says, Israel's king and redeemer, the Yahweh of heaven's armies. Help me. I am the first and the last. There is no other God. In the Old Testament, only God Almighty owns this title. It describes himself. No one is the beginning of and the end, the you know, spans all of eternity. It only properly applies to him. But here in the New Testament, we see that the Son of God owns it too. And this shows us that he is truly God, God the Son. This is a great proof text, if you want to use that expression. Revelation 1:17. For Jesus' deity, because he calls himself the first and the last. You say, okay, but what does it really mean to be the first and the last? It means that God is not just in the present. He's not confined behind the wheel of time. Cars, time, time's car. He's not there as we are. No, he's above it. He transcends it. Like the helicopter I mentioned. He sees the beginning, the end, the road all at the same time. You see, he created the road. He's not part of the creation. The past is not locked away from him, nor is the future a mystery. It's all in front of him simultaneously. It's like if I took out a map of the United States and I put it on this table in front of me. The East Coast, the West Coast, they're in front of me simultaneously. They're all before me all at once. Well, that's how God sees time. It's all in front of him. It's present to him. Many of you know that the book of Revelation, from which our text this morning comes, is the last book of the Bible. And that it tells us of the final days before the end of the world. As we know it, and it describes the second coming of Christ and the consummation of history and the last judgment, and it gives us a glimpse into eternity future. It shows us that God is sovereign over history, you see, and is guiding it towards its consummation, at which time he will receive the glory and the honor. And evil will be punished. Nobody's going to get away with anything, even though they may have here on earth in our time. It shows us that his people will be vindicated and rewarded, even though they may have not been appreciated in this time, in this place. But before God shows those spectacular visions of all that stuff to John, the author of history steps onto the stage, you might say, to assure John and the rest of us, don't be afraid. Trust me, I see the road perfectly. A lot of scary stuff in this book coming up here. But don't be afraid. I've got it. What are your worries or concerns for this coming year? Maybe job security? Maybe health concerns? Just got word recently that our missionary, Aaron Wentz, many of you know him, great brother in the Lord, he's just been recently diagnosed with MS. We need to pray for him and his wife and family. Maybe your kids or other loved ones. Maybe you're worried about some of the choices they may make or may be making right now. And you're concerned, what is this year going to mean for them? Maybe there are work-related problems that you're facing. Maybe you're worried about the opioid epidemic coming close to your life. You know that there are some at-risk persons close to you. Or on the international scene, what about the threat of North Korea and this whole thing about a nuclear bomb or biological warfare, chemical warfare, terrorism? I mean, there is plenty to worry about, you know? Just turn on the news for a couple minutes and you'll find it. If you don't have anything in your own personal life, you can find it very easily. Just turn on the news for a minute. But whatever tops your worry list, listen again to Jesus' words to John and by extension to us, to you, to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, if you are Jesus' follower, you see. His hand is upon you, just as it was upon John. And he says, do not be afraid. I'd like to share just a bit about the future that stirs and spooks me all at the same time. Today is my last sermon until I return in April. 2018, Lord willing. I'm kind of doing my happy dance today, you know? I'm excited about it. When I walk out the door, I am free. I am free of my pastoral duties and all the stuff that I normally do. As you know, Stony Creek Church has graciously given me a sabbatical, an extended time off, and I'm thrilled about that. In my 33 years of ministry, I've never had an extended time like this. I'll be working on a new book that I'm under contract with a publisher to finish this spring. The book is all about the portrait of Jesus in John's Gospel, and I hope that after I come back, we can organize some small group studies to look at this work and to just really dig into the Word. And I am bursting with excitement, and I am so grateful to the elders and to the congregation for this opportunity. But I'm also a little shaky. It's a little scary. I mean, for the past 33 years, I've worked 6 days a week, pretty much every week, aside, of course, from vacations, which typically were never more than a week at a time. There were some exceptions, but most of the time. And I'm a little, you know, curious to see how I'm going to do without the security blanket of my work. I kind of, you know, I guess get my identity somewhat from that. That's a risky thing, but it happens. Our executive pastor, Chris Bordeaux, who's away on the Jesus Freakend today, but he'll be here next week, or at least he better be, because he's taken over, all right? He's taken the helm. He's going to be doing nearly all the preaching and teaching on Sunday mornings. He's going to be leading the staff. He's going to be advising the elder board. And he's going to perform the funerals and the counseling and other regular pastoral duties that I would normally be doing. And our assistant pastor, Ken Leslie, where are you, Ken? Back there. Okay. See Ken. He's going to be leading the youth ministry on Wednesdays and so forth, so that Chris can do the stuff that I was doing. And we're also hiring a part-time administrator, Jody Slongo, to help fill the gap. So it's going to be a stressful time for these folks. And I ask that you please understand and support and encourage them. That's so important. I have full confidence in the elder board and the staff. They are good leaders. They're godly leaders. And I know that Stony Creek Church is in good hands. I'm not worried. Well, maybe just a little, you know, but it's just my nature. I'm a pastor, all right? But I have no reason to worry. Let me put it that way. Next Sunday, as you heard in the announcement, Chris is going to launch a new study at this service called Resolve. It's about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, and that's going to be great. I just know it, and support him with lots of encouragement. He's also launching a 9:30 service called Trustworthy. It's all about how to handle your finances in good and godly ways and according to scriptural wisdom. And I would say to you, really, I mean, if you're struggling with debt, or maybe not, I mean, maybe your finances are doing great, you can really benefit from this study at 9:30. Because it's going to be informative and helpful. You're going to learn about God's view of material possessions and how to use them. And it really could be a game changer in your life. So let me encourage you to take that opportunity. Another huge happening here for Stony Creek Church is our extreme makeover. You've heard a lot about that in 2017. It's set, you know, to break ground, if you will, February sometime. And if it all goes according to plan, and this is construction, but if it all goes according to plan next summer, we will have a totally renovated building inside and out with lots more space for kids, our burgeoning children's ministry, and for fellowship. But that project, it's worth doing, but it's going to come with its challenges, folks. No doubt about it. There are going to be bumps in the road, and there's going to be some dust and debris and inconvenience for us. We're going to have to go mobile for a while and meet in a school like we used to back in the day. Some of you remember those days, were with us back then. We're planning it. We're planning it well. We're doing our due diligence, but there's bound to be the things that, you know, just come up, bumps in the road, if you will. So I ask for your patience. I ask for your understanding and for your support and your team spirit. That's important that we don't lose that. Please remember why we're doing this. It's not for our comfort or pleasure, even though I think it's going to bring those things too. But it's really aimed at fulfilling our mission of making more and better followers of Jesus in this community and beyond. We want people to come to Christ, to connect with Christian living, commit to the church, and coach others to do the same. Those are our four C's. That's what we're about here. But of course, as we've been learning this morning, all of these plans are just that. They're just plans. Scripture isn't against us planning. We just have to remember it's what we hope to do by the grace of God in the future. None of us has a crystal ball, nor should we, all right? Remember, the windshield in front of us is blacked out. 1 year from today, I don't want to sound morbid or anything, but we all know 1 year from today, you or I could be long dead and buried. We don't know. We can't see the future. We can only write our plans in pencil and saying, Lord willing, this we will do. But the Lord owns the pencil eraser, folks. We plan, but he's the one who purposes. Only he writes in indelible ink. Only he sees the future as it clearly is. He sees it as clearly as the past and the present, and only he is sovereign over time and eternity. He owns it. That's why it's your best bet. It's my best bet. It's our best bet as a church to surrender ourselves, mind, soul, body, and spirit to the one who says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Like John, lay yourself before him, really and truly. Get prostrate before him. Your plans, your agendas, your dreams, your hopes, your goals, place those before the Lord. Get on your face before him, as John did, and say, "It's yours." And when you do this, it really will relieve your stress level to a huge extent, because you're acknowledging you don't have to control it. You can't anyway, but you don't have to even try. Surrendered to him, that is the safest place to be. You say, "Yeah, but what about that cliff? What about that infamous drop-off that's out there somewhere, different for every person? No one's ever come back to tell us what it's like." Well, not so. Remember what the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say. He says, "I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." The Lord Jesus says, "Death? No problem. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. I own the place. In fact, I have the keys. I have the keys to death. I have the keys to the place of the dead, which is Hades. I've conquered it myself. I'm sovereign over it. And if you have me as your Savior and Lord, your leader, your rescuer, you need not fear that drop-off. I've got you." We're going to end our service. Happy New Year.